In Hebrews chapter 2, remember, it's a book to God has given to develop, to grow, to understand. Mature, to grow up. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how, verse 3, shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So God, you do very miraculous things. You're able to do miraculous things. Well, what is a miracle? A miracle. And the Latin, taking it from the Latin, it means a strange thing. Wonderful is the word. To wonder at something. An event and an action. Apparently, with no way to explain it, no scientific laws, nothing seems to fit in place. And it seems to contradict everything because we don't have an explanation. Therefore, it has to be supernatural. It has to be something outside of humans. Supernatural, something to do with God, an act of God, an event, an effect that only the laws of nature cannot do. Something extraordinary, abnormal. Only something superhuman, supernatural, has to make it happen. Now, having said that, you know, without turning there, in Psalm 14:1, Isaiah 53:1, etc., the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's a very foolish thing to say, there is no God. A, you don't have enough information, and you aren't in the place to have such authority and such knowledge to make that statement. There is no God. Now, having said that, then if there is no God, then if we eliminate God, from our thinking and our understanding, then how do we explain that which is extraordinary? It has no explanation to it. Not on earth, there isn't any explanation. And so how do we explain it? If we get rid of God, how do we explain it? Well, deny it, make believe it doesn't exist, or just write it off, I don't understand, an accident. Thus, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, you know, created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning, you can expect, since God started, you would expect the person of God to carry it out, whatever it is. And if God started it in the beginning, and God did so, then everything, the rest of history that we live in, is always that which we don't understand, and we can go and find God. We can go and look to God, people use the word, that's a miracle. A miracle, extraordinary. There is no explanation for it, you know. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and heaven and earth being certainly extraordinary. And God repeats over and over again, tells you to look at all the stars and the heavens and everything above and everything below to realize there's a God, a creator. Now, having said that, now let's take a look and see how it works out. Over, if you would, to Exodus chapter 8. The book of Exodus, chapter 8. Now, how are we going to handle, here's the extraordinary, and in our study of the Gospel of John, that's where we're at, his first miracle, then what is a miracle? Thus, Exodus chapter 8, picking up, if I may, remember the Pharaoh and the magicians were brought to challenge God and Moses. And in the process, may I read verse 17? Verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Not in Goshen, just in Egypt, just there. Verse 17, and they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 18, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. The Egyptians tried to duplicate what Moses was able to do by God. God did it. Moses just followed the instructions. Verse 19. Magicians, what are you going to say? How are you going to explain this phenomena? 19. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. There was no explanation. And the only explanation his magicians, his wise men could say, was that it was the finger of God. And remember, all the way up to the day of our Lord Jesus, and the Greeks, the Romans, their history, their writing, they all understood that there was a creator. How they did it with Zeus or somebody else, they all understood the creator in some form or fashion up to then. Now, so in the light of that, the finger of God and God's fingerprints are all over the place. God's fingerprints are. Over with me, please, to that which you're familiar with, Romans in chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, may I pick up in the context which is so helpful, but going directly to verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, inside the heart of them. For God, why can it be inside the heart, the mind? Because God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, that which belongs to God, the nature and state of God being God, God being who he is, then you expect God to be who he is and what he's like, the Godhead. Don't you know, verse 20, that things that are made, even his eternal power, dynamite, dynamo, dynamic, are English words, Godhead, and Godhead is deity, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God, here we are. Here's your fingerprints. That's right. My power and my person is all over the place in history. All over. But miracles are very special. God's fingerprints are always there. Thus, God, in the light of your power, in the light of your deity, in the light of all of that, Then what did we find as we traveled through history? What did history find? Well, they found, what did the Egyptians find? Egyptians don't deny it. The Israelites crossed the Red Sea. And we did it all once with all that, the north, southern, north, middle, and southern route. And if they did it, well, they did, then they had to cross 4.5 miles of the Red Sea. That's a long way. And God opened the sea up just like that. He opened it up. And the Israelites, 2 million plus, and all their animals and everything, crossed over. And the Egyptians tried it, and they all drowned. They all drowned. God, what a marvelous thing. No one can do that. It'd be like opening Long Island Sound, so you didn't have to take a boat across. You'd open it up at the end of the Connecticut River, open it all up, dry land, and get in your car and drive across. You say, that can't be. Can't be. No, it can't be. We have no way to do that. But God did it with the Red Sea. God did that. God did that. That's a miracle. That's something only God can. A miracle is something. How are you going to define it? It's something outside of and apart from us. Now, having said that, and thinking of that, just think of over, you may want to go, why not? Over to the book of Daniel. Let me do three things. You'll look at them, see them. Daniel chapter 3. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all three would not bow down in the plain of Dura to the image that Nebuchadnezzar put up in the plain of Dura. And they didn't bow down. It was obvious they didn't bow down because everyone else was bowed down. And so they were put in, as the penalty was the fiery furnace, and they went in. And in verse, if I may, verse 16, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. So God is there, and we're going to go in that terrible fiery furnace, heated 7 times over, even the people that threw us in died. And so, God, here we are, and God, now no one can live. No, they can't. They can't live. How are we going to explain that? We can't explain that. But they all knew it. They all knew it. The three guys that went in came out and kept going. And all the people said, well, how was it in there? And they said, I don't know. God was just there. And here we are. And now, verse 26. Chapter 3 and verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. They came out. Now, how do we explain that? You can't explain that. No one can explain that. That's right. It's a miracle. A wonderful thing God did. God, are you okay? If I get rid of God, I don't know. I have to create a God that isn't a God at all. So now, having said that, over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, and in verse 5. Remember, Belshazzar, the king, defied God, mocked the things of God. And so when we come to chapter 5 and verse 5, God was dealing with Belshazzar because the Media Persian army was coming in, and this is the last night for Babylon. All over, Belshazzar's feast. Enemy comes in through the gate, you know, the gate's left open. God said it would be left open before it ever happened. God said the gate will be open under the water where the water comes in. You can go down in the water and through the gate and go open the front door, and they're all drunk. Now, having said that, Chapter 5 and verse 5. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick, and upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now, if you had a big wall, think of big high ceilings and big glorious palaces, and up there we're all drunk and singing and partying, and up there in a wall a hand writes. And you have the next verse 25, etc. The hand writes, you know. It's the end of the kingdom of Babylon. It's all over. The Media Persians are at the door. I'm impressed, if nothing else, to see the hand write, the finger of God. God, you did that? Yes, I did that. Did Belshazzar know you did it? Uh-huh. Did the Babylonians know you did it? Uh-huh. The Media Persians didn't know. But boy, they knew. They knew God. Over to chapter 6. And picking up, please. You know Daniel, Darius the Mede, and Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. And you know, if I may, chapter 6 and in verse 20. And when, remember, Daniel's in the lion's den, the lions are all hungry, lots of lions. We don't know how many lions, but we know there's a lot of lions because the whole families of the people that made Daniel go in the lion's den were thrown into the lion's den, and they all died by the lion. So it wasn't one little bitty lion. There had to be a whole lot of lions there. Wow. Now, having said that, Daniel was thrown in, and thus, verse 20, and it came to pass, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, Darius, unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And Daniel said, yeah, here I am. Here I am down here. I'm patting him. I'm resting on one of them right now. Wow. How do you explain that? You say, you can't explain that. How do I explain so many things? God, why do you do them? Because it was the thing to do. There are miracles and wonderful things, God, but you only do them so much. Only so much, and for very good reasons. But here are all these wonderful incidents to remind us, God, that you are something else. Unbelief blinds the heart and blinds the mind. 1 Corinthians 4:3-4. Blinds the heart and mind, it does. And so what do we have? We have no miracles. We don't know how to explain anything. We sort of write it off and hope it'll go away. We dismiss it from our thinking. We don't understand. Someone falls. Did you ever think of it? Someone falls from a 12-story, I don't know, it could be, 12-story building. They fall down onto the ground, and they don't even break a bone. And I know, and you know, I've had people just fell off a chair and smashed their bones. Now, how do you explain that? Would you like to jump from 12 stories to test it? No one would do that. It doesn't make sense. Unless you had a parachute. Wow. God, how do we explain it? But we don't. We don't. We don't. So many things, God. You are busy. Your fingerprints are everywhere. If we would but see them, if we would but catch them, and you do it in your mercy and grace and kindness, you do it privately and sometimes publicly. God, your fingerprints are there. Uh-huh, they are. They are. So now, God, and here we are, and if we don't have you, God, we have no way to say a miracle. We don't know what it is. We don't know how to explain anything. And all the laws of nature don't help us. And the natural laws of science, etc., they don't help us. And by the way, the science and all of our wonderful exponential knowledge, not like this. It used to be like this. Now, like this, about everything. Everything. Millions of pages of information that you never had before. And you know what it is? With all of our exponential knowledge. Awesome. It is, But it is but an introduction of what we could know that God has known. God knows in all of the universe, all the laws, all the think of your own body and all the marvel function of it. And we only understand a little bit of it, just a little bit. And we do all kinds of surgery and everything. And we only understand just a drop. And here's all the universe with its massive, tremendous knowledge. And we have a little bit of it. God, we try to explain what we can. But then we're left, God, with the infinite person that you are. And we have no explanation. We have no explanation, God. It's just you. Just you, God. Just you. Over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews in chapter 1. In Hebrews in chapter 1, picking up, please, in thought. You know, God, are you busy in this whole business of creation and all that you've made? Absolutely. Are you an absentee landlord? Oh, no, no. Hebrews chapter 1, picking up in, I'll read the first three verses. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being who he is, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things, taking all things, bearing up, carrying along, upholding all things by the word of his power. By power. You mean everything out here, every star, galaxy, the galaxies upon the galaxies, all of the movement, everything out there, you know the names of all the stars. You give them names. You have all of that, God. That's right. I want you to know they're all being held together, like in Colossians 1. He makes everything consist. He holds it all together. Why doesn't it just fall apart? Because it can't fall apart. God has it held together in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now, Israel, you've been the custodians, you've been the center of his wonderful working from the Red Sea, etc. Now, in the light of that, you have great opportunity to believe, Israel, but they don't. They don't believe. Now, God, what are we going to do since they don't believe? Over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. And in the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 11, would you note, Israel needed to give God credit, but they didn't. They didn't give God credit at all. Therefore, God, what are you going to do or not do? Chapter 11, Matthew, verse 20. And then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works, all that he did, the works, were done, because they repented not. Verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell, or Hades, or Sheol. For if the mighty works, again, which have been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Verse 24, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So here, God, what are you doing? Well, they didn't believe. I would have done all kinds of things, but they didn't believe. And everything I did, they discounted it. Why would you discount such displays of miracle power working that is not human, beyond our ability to handle? Why would you dismiss that? Why wouldn't you get caught up in the wonder of that? Ah, they didn't. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, may I go, please, if I may, directly to verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, what was their problem? Sadducees, Pharisees, and all of them. And said unto them, verse 29, you do err. Why? Not knowing the scriptures, but you read them, but you don't understand them. You don't know them. Nor the power of God, his eternal power and Godhead. Did anyone pay attention that God's still God? Does anyone remember that everything is held together, like we shared in Sunday school? We're breathers, breathers. How on earth do we function? Because of God's grace and mercy. Wow. They don't know the power of God. They don't know it. Is God able to do a miracle? Sure he is. Or is he? Now, over please. Does he have the power, the ability, the dynamite, the dynamic, the dynamo? Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, picking up please. May I go, to verse 26, little context. And the fame thereof went abroad, the fame went through abroad into all the land. 27, 9 and 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this. Do you believe that I am able? I have the dynamic, the ability to do it. Do you believe that? They said unto him, yea, Lord, we're blind. Do you have the ability? Do you believe that I can take you unblind? That's what I want to know. It'll take a miracle. I know they're working on stuff now for the eyes and cameras and little things you put into all kinds of things coming up that they're playing with to be able to help you see. That's a wonderful thing. But God, to take a blind man and just give him sight, super duper sight, never partial. Wow. Do you believe I can do it? That's what I want to know. Do you believe I have the power? Not discount me. Not to make it so I don't do anything. I want to know, do you believe I can do that? Now, and thus, verse 29, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know, that you aren't ready yet to say anything. Just enjoy being able to see. Just enjoy being able to see. Now, in the light of that, over, if you can, to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. God, Israel lost the privilege of honoring God. They wanted signs and wonders and miracles for the wrong reason. The wrong reason. And they rejected his reasons. They took the wrong ones. So here in Luke chapter 5, picking up, if I can, verse 12. 5 and 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst, you're able. Able, you have the dynamite, the dynamic, you're able to make me clean. You're able to make me, I'm all full of leprosy. And God, no one, you can do what no one had the cure for then. And they still don't. It's a tough thing to have. And thus in verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now, that fellow would have never known if he didn't come to God and say, if you're willing, God, you can. See? The blind man, can you? I believe you can, God. Well, then, God, you must be able to do stuff we can't do. That's right. Now, picking up, if again, chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass that a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, great authorities, which were come out to every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Isn't that interesting? To heal them. These rascals. To heal them. God, sometime they believed, sometime they didn't believe. And God just took some time. Here's a whole field of people. And God did it. Boom. Just like that. Sometime you believe, sometime you didn't. Depends what he was trying to prove, do. Thus, chapter 5, and in the process, verse 18, and behold, men besought him in a brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him, to bring it before the Lord. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the house top, the roof, and let him down through the tiling. In other words, they opened up the roof. Opened up the roof. Didn't even ask permission. The crowd's down below, and they just opened the roof up with his couch, down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. So here comes, the roof goes, and they lower him down. Just think of ropes. Lowering him down, and here's the blind, here's the man with palsy on a pallet coming down through, and right in front, they drop him right in front of the Lord, right coming down. You have to get out of the way. What's coming down? The man is. Aha. Verse 20. And when he saw their faith, that's what he saw. They had to believe. They had to believe God could do whatever he could do. Verse 20. And he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, God, we have a terrible physical problem. Ah, but you have another problem. And I can solve that one very easy. Thy sins are able to be forgiven because I'm going to die on Calvary's cross for every single one of them. Verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins? But God alone. God alone can heal that man. God alone can forgive sins. You're right. You can't. There's no explanation. If I get rid of you, God. And think of all the world. The world's out there. And when things happen. And they happen. And the politicians and publicly in the media. You'll hear it every now and then on the system. God, it had to be a miracle. We don't know why it happened. How it happened. And we aren't talking about being believers, they're just people. And they're giving credit to something beyond themselves, someone beyond themselves. Ah, that's the whole issue, God, isn't it? To recognize you. Thus over if you would to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And would you please note, remember the Lord Jesus Christ, has a wonderful, wonderful ability to meet all of our need. Not only is the King of Kings, he's the prophet of all prophets, he's the priest of all priests. And his priesthood isn't like the Aaronic priesthood, it's like the Melchizedek priesthood, has no beginning and no end. So now, I'm going to read Hebrews 7, verse 15. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude, likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Verse 16, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, not like that, but after what? After the power, the dynamite, the dynamic of an endless life. The power of an endless life. To be able to function thoroughly, completely, wonderfully, to perform life all the way forever. Thus, verse 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God, you, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to provide a wonderful life, a life that's going to last forever. The power of life, the wonderful, extraordinary dynamic of life itself. Wow. Your life, God, that's right. We have physical existence. But God, only you give us eternal life, a relationship to you. Thus, verse 25. Wherefore, God is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God, can you do that for a person? I can. That's a miracle. Oh, no, it's my grace, my wonderful grace. I'm able to do that. Now, having said that, God, now back over to John. John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20. Now, the Gospel of John, remember, it's written, we have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but the Gospel of John is written at the end by John before 100 AD, and he fills in all the pieces, as we've said, about the Old Testament, the New Testament. All of the apostles have died except John. And he writes, God uses him in a wonderful way. And he writes, and thus, chapter 20, verse 30, and many other signs, there's the word sign, miracle, many other signs and miracles, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, what for? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. These are written. I'm going to take just a sample of them, a sample of miracles, a sample of signs. There are all kinds of them. You couldn't, if you had a book, you remember you're reading it. There's no book on earth that could hold it. You'd have a Library of Congress trying to write everything that he did and said. Wow. So now, verse 31, Christ is the Lord God. Jesus Christ is the God-man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that believing on him, that's right, you got to believe that he's God, that you'll have life through his name. Eternal, wonderful life because of who he is. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He has the ability to, authority to give us life, the power of an endless life. Wow, that's something else. Power of an endless life, that's right. Now, having said that, John chapter 2. Here's the first miracle, chapter 2, verse 11. Summing up so you don't have to guess, 2 and 11. This beginning of miracles, signs, miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples did what? They believed on him. All of these signs that I'm going to do are to get you to pay attention to who I am and to believe me. Give me credit. I want you to believe that I am who I am. I'm able to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, if I want to do it. I can do anything I want. I want you to understand I'm God. I'm able to do whatever. I don't want you to eliminate me. I don't want you to bring me down to make you man. Don't make me man-sized, the size that you want. I am the infinite, invisible God. I am God, almighty, infinite, forever. Wow. Power. Power. Omnipotence. Power. Uh-huh. God, what can't you do? Could you make a rock too big that you couldn't lift? No. And if you sit there, remember we did that study to think it through. God couldn't do it. God can't do it. There's no rock. You can't make a rock that big. Wow. Now, in the light of that, over to John chapter 3, verse 2. To Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he does not have the dynamic to see the kingdom. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again? It's not able to happen. How can a man be born again? There's the verb. Be born again when he is old. There's the verb again. Able, to be able, dynamic, power. Is he able to enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit of God. He's not able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, believe, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus, verse 9, skipping down. Nicodemus answered and cried unto him, How can these things be? How is it possible for this wonderful thing that you could do in my heart, how could that possibly be true? God is always able to be who he is. Able to do what he can do. Whatever he chooses to do. In the way that he chooses to do it. And thus, God, we have God's word. And we have the Spirit of God to honor the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't make the result of what Jesus has done in his saving grace, satisfying the righteousness of God, I don't make that work for me. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that happen. I am to be the wonderful, believing, trusting recipient of it. I don't make it happen. I don't tell him to do it. The Spirit of God has him do it. And I honor, and you honor, the Spirit of God who's honoring the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ to make it all happen. That's true. That's true. Now, in the light of that, and to taste God's grace, and you know from what you read in, over if you would, if you're still in John, over to John chapter 1, you know that God goes and gives us grace upon grace upon grace. He is full of grace and truth, verse 14. But verse 16, of his fullness have we all received grace in place of grace in place of grace. God, you're able to do that wonderfully for us. I'm able to go. You have to believe, whether you're blind, a leper, or you're trying to understand how to get into the wonderful relationship to God that gives you eternal life. God, you're going to have to come to God. God is able to do what we can't do. We can't do it. And thus, God, you require that we trust you and believe you. That's right. And therefore, you're going to say to us in John 15:5, without me, Lord Jesus, you're going to say it, without me we can do how much? Nothing at all. So God, that's right. There is no explanation. Why should I have life? Why do I have a relationship? Why am I able to know you? Wow. Is that a miracle? Oh, no. No, it's just me. I do special things sometime. I do them for given reasons. But I want you to know, I'm just going to be me, said God. I'm just going to exercise who I am. And when you allow me, I'm going to be kind and gracious and marvelously care for you. I want you to allow me to take care of you. He's like, who's he? Is he big enough? I'm a big guy. No. God's a big God, and we're little guys. And thus, when we come to receive the Lord as our Savior, what does God do? John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become what? Sons, children of God. Little children. Well, God said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring you into my family. Well, that's a miracle. No, that's just my grace. I do miracles and marvelous things. But I just want to tell you, I'm being me, you know, and God's me. God's my God and your God. In daily life, work, home, school, play, health, wealth, coming and going, work. God, aren't you God? Absolutely. God, are you going to be God? Oh, yes. Oh, I need a miracle. No, I don't need a miracle. I don't need. Sometimes I may. But God, you pick and choose when you wish to do them, and he will in the future do them again in a very big way. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. In closing, Matthew 16, appreciate your patience. Matthew chapter 16. God, what do we know? Now, what did the Jews want? The Jews are going to goof because they aren't paying attention. They're losing out. I got with God, we're going to make God my size. And I have my God and I read. And really, your God's too little. You want to have God, God-sized. Wow. And that's something else. And then you don't give him little dictates of what he can do or can't do, when he does it, doesn't do it. And you learn to be very thankful in your little heart and mind to trust him. Chapter 16 of John, Matthew. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign or a miracle from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. When it is morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs, the miracle, the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign and a miracle. And there shall no sign, miracle, be given unto it, but the sign, the miracle of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. That's all he said. Now, here we are, and my half a thought in the light of all of this. God, we aren't. What are we doing? You aren't going to give any more miracles now. That doesn't mean he can't do them, but he isn't going to do any miracles. God's going to be God, but miracles are a different thing. We'll see next time, Lord willing. But, hey, here we are, God. And what are we doing? Well, we represent you. What's the only sign you're going to give to the Jew and the Gentile is that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so shall you be in the heart of the earth, and you'll rise again. And the only sign you're going to give him is resurrection. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of the church? Believers, if you're saved, what is your purpose? To represent the life of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And the people can see the sign. The only sign he's going to give them is life. And that's you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ who is our life. We are a miracle. You are a miracle. You are something beyond this world, and the angels are trying to figure it out often. God, what are you doing? The miracle of life. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless what? I live. Ah, but Christ liveth in me. A whole nother world. What are we doing? We aren't looking for miracles. We're looking to live a life, an extraordinary life, in an ordinary way, whether we eat or drink to the glory of God. And you have to understand, that's what he's after. A wonderful, wonderful thing. What about all the miracles? Oh, God, you have no problem with miracles. You have no problem doing anything you want, with the weather, whatever. We may not even get any snow this winter. You know, I'm not supposed to shovel yet. So, no snow. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? You know. You have to wait. Next year. You got the idea? Wow. Our Father in God set apart the time, and it's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing that we can enjoy a unique, personal, for real, for right relationship to you, not because of anything of us, but because of your person and work in our Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you. Thank you, marvel, marvel of marvels, mercy of mercies, God. Wonder of wonders. God, we are living to verify, to vindicate, to attest to confirm what? That you rose again from the grave, and that we are to represent you as those that have been come unto you. You said all that come to you, you would never reject, and that you would save us to the uttermost, that you would give us eternal life, the power to live an extraordinary life in an ordinary way. God, thank you very, very much. And for those who know you, Lord, not as Lord and Savior, God, deal with their head and their heart. And we'll thank you for those that are sick and weak and away. God, for those that have no, lose their hunger and thirst to absorb your wonderful person and word. God, awaken their heart, awaken our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. Perhaps we could sing 268. 268. Let us stand together.